capitalism discriminates against us. David Maples, Merton Ellison, Chair, Personal Capacity. The recent, rather brief, Disabled Workers Conference for the Trades Union Congress, TUC, with just 3 hours of debate, gave a sharp focus to the experiences of disabled workers during the pandemic. 6 in 10 of all covered deaths are from disabled people. If you are disabled and male, you are 6.5 times more likely to die from COVID than a non-disabled man. For disabled women, it's 11.3 times more likely than non-disabled women. In the 2008-2009 recession, disabled workers were more likely than non-disabled workers to experience negative changes to our terms and conditions and working practices, such as wage freezes, reduced overtime and the reorganization of work. Research has revealed that during economic upturns, disabled workers are the last to gain employment, and during downturns we are first to lose our jobs. Office for National Statistics data shows that redundancy rates are 62% higher for disabled than non-disabled workers. In 2015, the Tory manifesto pledged to halve the gap between the employment rates for disabled and non-disabled people. At the time it was 34%. It is still almost 30%. Disabled workers face double discrimination. Not only are we less likely to be in work, but when we are paid less than non-disabled workers. TUC research shows that disabled workers face 20% lower pay. This is equivalent to earning £2.10 less an hour. The TUC is calling for mandatory disability pay gap reporting. COVID 40% of employers say that they are discouraged from hiring disabled job applicants because of concerns around supporting them properly during the pandemic. 20% admitted they would be less likely overall to hire someone with a disability. 71% of disabled workers were affected by the pandemic, either through a loss of income, being put on furlough, or having been made redundant. Until the pandemic, most employers were reluctant to allow home working. But a Unison survey found that 73% of disabled workers were more productive, or just as productive when working from home. It reduced pain and fatigue due to less commuting, and the ability to work more flexibly, with additional breaks or a later starting time. The survey found fewer disabled workers took sickness absence, as they were able to manage their condition better. Mandatory homeworking has had a negative impact on some disabled workers. However, homeworking should be the worker's choice, not something imposed. Changes to the welfare system over the past 10 years have left disabled adult claimants 4 times worse off financially than non-disabled adult claimants, according to Disability Benefits Consortium. TUC research found that disabled people were more than 3 times as likely to use food banks as non-disabled people. Nearly half of people in poverty, 6.9 million people, are from families which include a disabled person. Sanctions do not move disabled workers closer to paid work. Instead, they often worsen many disabled workers' existing illnesses and conditions, particularly mental health conditions. The pandemic has worsened accessibility, isolation, and barriers to disability rights. Disabled women were already twice as likely as other women to experience domestic abuse. New coronavirus rules effectively free local authorities of some of their duties to provide social care under the Care Act 2014, and reduce protections enshrined in the Mental Health Act, so it takes fewer medical professionals to detain someone. Between 2014 and 2016, over half of union reps reported that they had dealt with disability-related issues. In a recent survey by public sector union Unison, half of respondents said they face barriers to doing their job that could be removed through adjustments. Over 2/3 who requested reasonable adjustments had some or all refused. 23% who requested adjustments waited a year or more to receive what they needed. Unemployment in 2019. The TUC found that 1 in 10 disabled workers, 391,000 people, had dropped out of work over the previous 12 months. Government research found that disabled workers are twice as likely to fall out of work as non-disabled workers. Figures like this point to one of the reasons that the disability employment rate continues to persist at around 30%. The TUC is calling on the Equality and Human Rights Commission, EHRC, to improve its employment code of practice, which provides a detailed explanation of the Equality Act 2010. This could be useful, as long as it is accompanied by trade unions encouraging disabled workers to get organized and enhance training for union reps on disability issues. However, the EHRC has most recently shown itself as a body to put the boot into Corbynism, with false allegations of antisemitism, rather than a campaigning body to improve conditions in capitalist society. The TUC approach is largely limited to lobbying government and the employers. The TUC Disabled Workers Committee comments that it will campaign to amend the Equality Act 2010 when it has confidence a government will reform the Equality Act to make the positive changes requested. This raises the question, will a Labour government be better than the Tories? Labour didn't repeal the Tory anti-trade union laws. As often with TUC conferences, it was left to the Transport Union RMT to point out that Britain's anti-union laws, restricting strike action to narrowly defined trade disputes, and barring strikes against wider issues that affect disabled people, hamper disabled workers in fighting for our rights. Disabled workers need strong workplace organization. They cannot rely on lobbying a hostile government. The struggle for LGBT plus rights was driven forward by mass action like the Stonewall protests. The Tory Lib Dem coalition government from 2010 saw disabled people as a soft target. A strategy of whipping up prejudice against benefit claimants was designed to create a favorable climate for attacking the benefits disabled people, and others, need for a reasonable standard of living. But large campaigns by disabled activists, especially against the Welfare Reform Act, helped to counter this. George Osborne, the then Tory Chancellor, was famously booed by 80,000 people when presenting medals at the Paralympics in 2012. Disabled people will return to the methods of protest. We have more than enough to protest about. This article deals with some of the issues facing disabled workers. The Socialist would welcome more contributions on this subject, editors at socialistparty.org.uk. The Socialist Party demands trade union control over health and safety and the access to work service. Reasonable adjustments should be a collective issue, a supportive benefits system based on the real cost of disability. Extra support for higher costs during the pandemic, and compensation for restricted employment opportunities. Trade union control over the benefits system, to make it supportive, rather than punitive. Full pensions with no reductions, because of lower pay, or a shorter working lifetime.